It's exciting to me to see young people serve God. And the young people in our church, I'm thrilled that you are serving God with your life. And the young people that are outside of our church, and we have some today. Of course, the college students from BCM, some of them with us tonight that are serving the Lord and traveling. And then we have two friends of ours, Valerie and Amy, yes, I'm getting it right, Amy. We kind of have a joke with her name, but they both are Christian school teachers down in Virginia, went and got their education, and now teaching in Christian school. And I just want to say to all young people here, man, you are our hope and our crown of rejoicing. And just stay on that path of serving God. There is nothing in the world like giving your life to God and serving God. And thank the Lord for each one of you. We're in Proverbs chapter 31. The Bible says, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. It is important that we understand that when we fulfill roles that God has given us, that is a godly thing. Let me say that again. I'm not sure we're convinced of it. When we fulfill the roles that God makes us for, that is a godly thing. And I want to deal with tonight, last week I dealt with the inward qualities of a godly lady, and we dealt with a number of inward qualities, but the foundation for all of those inward qualities to grow in our lives, ladies, is that we have a fear of God. And we learned that from the Proverbs 31 woman, that she feared God, and the rest of it would come along in time. Man, if she reverenced God, she was interested in pleasing God, God would shape her life. God would bring those fruits and those qualities that she would need to be the person that God wanted her to be. Weird introduction to the message tonight, so stick with me. I will get to the role of a godly woman in the home, but tonight I kind of want to bring in some of the reading that I've been doing leading into this message. I've been reading a book by Erwin Lutzer called We Will Not Be Silenced. Again, some of the books that I read, I'll never approve of everything that somebody writes. But in that book, he deals with Marxism. And in relationship to what the Bible says, as I was studying for the message tonight about the role of a woman in the home, and in relationship to what Marxism's design is on the family, I think it's worthy for me to bring that out in this message, particularly with our young people. You may not have a framework of understanding Marxism back into the 1900s, the early 1900s. But Karl Marx introduced, and stick with me, it'll be some tedious information, but if you'll listen carefully, I think you'll grab some things that will be helpful as we understand when God writes something about roles and functions in society, man, it is critical that we understand it. And Karl Marx introduced a theory of state supremacy that necessitated economic and social controls that were imposed in Russia after the revolution of 1917. So we're going back 100 years ago. After the revolution, during which millions of people were killed, the state abolished private property and set out to bring equality and justice to an oppressed people. And I'm summarizing a lot of the reading that I've been doing. State supremacy required suppressing religion and limiting individual rights. And I want you to understand that there is a strong movement of that in our country today. Now, I'm not preaching on politics. I'm going somewhere with this spiritually. Stick with me. But you need to understand that there is a movement in our society, in America today, of Marxism to suppress religious rights, and to limit individual rights. Today we're dealing with a form of Marxism that wins the hearts and minds of people through gradual transformation of our culture. And so the government is promising and bombarding this people that, hey, we're going to provide for you and you're going to have all of these benefits. They're promising hope and change and income equality and race harmony and justice. But you need to understand that Marxism is not based on Christian or biblical principles or values. It's based upon secularism. It's known for being inclusive rather than exclusive and promotes the free use of your body morally. That's not what the Bible promotes, my friend. Marxism really targets five institutions: the social, political, educational, religious, and family portions of a culture. Marx knew that certain foundation pillars must be torn down before a nation could rebuild a new economic, racial, and moral culture. Standing in the way of cultural Marxism is a God-defined family. Father, mother, children. One reason why the family is an obstacle to Marxism is because of the tendency for children of the rich or the successful or the prosperous in a nation to inherit wealth and the children of the poor to pass along their poverty. And Marx said, let's do away with all of that. Let's bring everybody on equal footing and equal income. And in order to do that, we're going to have to attack the family. Interesting. He was determined to change this. And so his thought was this: if the state owned all the wealth, it could be distributed more evenly among all its citizens. Gone would be disproportionate salaries and unequal economic opportunities. In Marxism, the family that we know that God created is defined as a unit in which wives are suppressed by their husbands and children are suppressed by their parents. That's interesting. And these families of oppression must be broken up. Mothers have to leave their homes and join the workforce. Feminine upheaval is a phraseology that they use to free the family from all the forms of oppression and the capitalistic pattern of passing wealth from one generation to another. Mothers have to be encouraged to leave their children for others to raise. This will stifle their motherly instincts and step outside the home and enter the workforce if they'll do that. Leave your children for the daycare centers and the schools to raise while they attack creationism and the church and, of course, Bible principles and doctrines. Children will be indoctrinated about the evils of capitalism and the benefits of socialism and economic equality. Marx taught that families based on natural law and Christian values breed inequality and feed on greed and oppression. So such families have to be dismantled in the Marxist vision to recreate a society. Historically, when Marxism has won victories, it has done so at the expense of millions of lives when it has set up its own system of oppression, which is far worse than what it promised to replace. What you're being promised is not what you're going to get. It's going to be worse. Marxists insist school must change their curriculum to reflect this alternate view of society. The hope is that the future generations controlled by political correctness and pro-Marxist politicians will help bring freedom from traditional gender roles, from boundaries regarding the use of our bodies, which will result in liberating the oppressed. Brethren, I want you to know that's what we're up against in America. The biblical roles of marriage and faith in God are deemed obsolete and harmful. Lutzer, in his book, says this: it used to be that in America, Christians, even though we knew there was a crowd out there that was, you know, haters of God, whatnot, we always felt in the majority in America. But I don't know about you, I don't feel like I'm in the majority anymore in our country. Marxism, philosophy, children without family roots can be more easily directed towards secular values and state benefits. The state can do for them what the parents failed to do. My friend, that is a lie. I want you to know the church can't do for a child what the parents, God made them to do for that child. Nothing can take the place of parents, a married husband and wife in the life of a child. Now, I know we don't live in a perfect world, and I am not criticizing tonight mothers that are single mothers that are raising kids. And man, God's grace throughout the Bible, we know that God can bring anybody through a situation, and children can turn out to be responsible and individuals that contribute to society and godly and love God and serve God and thank God for His grace. In 1914, right around the same time of Marx in Russia, Margaret Sanger, who was influenced by Marxism, launched a newspaper called The Woman Rebel, which promoted moral and political anarchy. Her motto was, no gods, no masters. She touted the virtues of single motherhood, contraception, and asserted that women have the right to race the world with a go-to-look hell in their eyes. That's interesting. In her 1920 book, Women and the New Race, she predicted that the rebellion of women would remake the world. She said a woman must overcome the evil that she has wrought through her submission. In other words, submission to her husband is evil. Staying at home to rear children was slavery in their eyes. And of course, the goal is that there would no longer be a home that would consist of a father, a mother, and children. And we are well down that road in America. Did you know for the first time in America, there are more homes that are made up of children without a father and mother than there are homes with a father and mother today? First time ever in our nation's history it's like that. But it's like that. And so the world is moving in that direction. And with that, I want to deal with tonight the role of a godly woman in the home. So there are inward qualities that shape a godly woman. We looked at those last week. But there are also roles of a godly woman in the home that portray godliness. Remember, thesis, when we fulfill God's roles for our lives, we are godly. That's godliness. So what are the roles? Number one, if you're taking notes tonight, the role of a helpmeet. The role of a helpmeet. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter number 2. And I want you to look at verse number 18. Because when we go to God's purpose for creating a woman, initially, in creation, He made a woman to be a helpmeet for a man. That does not mean a woman is lesser. It does mean He had a plan. And He made that plan clear in verse number 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Ladies, men need lots and lots of help. That's what God realized. God didn't realize it. It didn't come to Him, but He speaks it here. I will make him an helpmeet for him. Verse 20, and Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. God's mind on the matter, gentlemen, is it is not good for man to be alone. So all young men in our church, let me talk to you tonight. All right? Seriously, on your blip screen, somewhere in your life, you need to realize what God teaches you about you. And what God teaches you about you is you're not good alone. I understand. I understand Paul spoke of singleness, and I understand that some God takes down that path, and praise the Lord for them, and God uses them. But here the Bible says, Adam's got responsibility. Adam's naming animals. Adam's got work. But you know what Adam doesn't have? He doesn't have an helpmeet. And because he doesn't have a helpmeet, he's incomplete. That's the meaning of the passage. He's without a helpmeet. Means that Eve was made to be a suitable helper for Adam. God designed Eve to come alongside of Adam and that she would complete him. It is a beautiful picture. Ladies, don't look at that and say, that's all I'm supposed to do. Listen, it is a wonderful picture for a man and woman to come together in marriage. And for that helpmeet to come along and complete that man. God made it that way. God makes everything wonderful. God made that. The role of the helpmeet is to be the completer. I want to speak to our mothers and our grandmothers and encourage you to teach and model the role of a helpmeet to our young ladies. A helpmeet means this. God puts a man in a woman's life and a woman in a man's life. And a helpmeet says, what is his mission? What is my husband's mission? What does he need? How do I best complement and complete him? How do I make him a priority in my life every day? Folks, this is old-fashioned, but it's really not old-fashioned. Like I said last week, it's really biblical. The helpmeet principle, the role of a helpmeet. Young ladies, let me speak to you about the desires of your heart tonight. A godly desire in your life is to be a wife that can be a helpmeet and mother who can raise her children. That is a godly desire. If you don't have those desires right now, I'm not saying you're ungodly. Neither am I saying that you're outside of the will of God. But you know what you ought to pray for? Lord, would you give me those desires? Lord, those desires, they seem to be fitting with what your word talks about, the reason that you made me. For my daughters to want to get married, woohoo, that's good. I want them to want to get married. I want them to want to be a mother. That's good stuff. That's in the Bible. That's God's plan. We have some ladies that are in the midst of going to college and all of those things, and I'm for developing and broadening your horizons and developing gifts and abilities and talents and education, all that in your life. But as I remind my daughters, and they'll be able to testify of this, I remind them, you keep the spirit of a helpmeet. Man, if God puts a man in my life, man, I'd be just thrilled to just jump into a godly marriage and, boy, serve with my husband and complete him and serve God and raise a godly family. You keep that heartbeat in your heart. Man, that's what I want. That's what I want in my heart. And if you want that in your heart, that's a wonderful thing tonight. The role of a helpmeet. Keep your heart in the place of becoming a helpmeet. This is God's design, and God didn't make any mistakes. A helpmeet is a gift from God because only He knows fully how to fit someone suitable for someone else. When He brought Eve into Adam's life, He knew Adam's shortcomings. Doesn't God know us inside and out? He knew where Adam would be weak. He knew where Adam would be, oh man, Adam's not good with numbers. Somebody's going to have to help with finances here. Okay? He knew Adam's disorganized. I don't know what Adam's flaws were, but God did this. God said, I'm bringing somebody to complete him. That's Eve. That's his wife. A help me is someone who's there to help when you need it. They're your partner. When you are weak, maybe they're strong. When you hurt, they are there to help ease the pain. When you are happy, they are there to share the joy. When there's work to be done, they are there to pitch in and get it done. You are partners. Marriage. Husbands and wives tonight, may I remind you, you're partners in marriage. You lean, your relationship is to be dependent upon each other. The heart of a helpmeet, ladies, if you're a wife tonight, is to be a blessing to your husband. In fact, in Proverbs 31, verse number 11, the Bible says the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. And she's like that not just on the good days, but all days. In fact, in verse 12, it says she will do him good and not evil all the days of his life. Man, I've been married for 22 years. 22 years ago, I was a dumb bimbo that said, woo, I need to get married. I need help. Little did I know that 22 years ago, God would give me somebody that has done me good all the days of my life. And I say that publicly and I say that unashamedly. And I thank God for my wife that fulfills the role of a helpmeet. It's a biblical role. Ladies, beware of being on the run with your own agenda and pursuits and priorities that you cannot fulfill the role of a helpmeet. Do you find yourself more fulfilled to be on the run than to be a helpmeet? Do you find your job more thrilling than serving to help your husband? Remember, your primary role, if you're married today, is that of a helpmeet. Now, that may change. In your marriage, you may have to shift gears because you may need to help in an area that you didn't think you were going to need to help. And we've had families that go through those kinds of things. Man, life is not always according to our plans, but the heartbeat is, how can I complete, come alongside, be the suitable help for my mate? The role of a helpmeet. Number two, when we look at the role of a godly woman in the home, we also see the role of a keeper at home. The role of keeper at home. Turn over in your Bibles to Titus. Titus chapter number 2. Look at verse number 3. Titus 2, verse number 3. The Bible says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, to be chaste, to be keepers at home." Workers at home. Number one, I put in my notes here, if you're evaluating yourself, that means that it demands some presence. It demands your presence. For a woman to be away from her home all the time is going to make it very difficult for her to manage and keep her home. And so the Bible says that the older women are to teach. Teaching includes verbal, but it also includes example. They're to model this structure, model this facet of a woman's life, that she would be a keeper at home. Our feminist culture urges women to, and puts enormous pressure on them to enter the workforce. And many of our marriages are wrecked because of it. And if not wrecked, they're strained. And the home is strained. In my life, my mother, there was a time in our lives where my mother had to work outside the home. And I remember those years. And I'm not here to criticize my mom and dad. They did a fabulous job in what they trained us in and loved us and all of that. But there was a time where she was outside the home. I remember her leaving at 11 o'clock in the morning, or at night, I should say. She would leave at 11 o'clock. She would go and work all night. I would get up for school, and about the time I was leaving for school, she was coming home to go to bed. And she was going to do it all over again multiple nights during the week. And I don't resent that. But when we moved to Brogue, I know that my father, all he desired was that they would be able to have enough income that she would not have to work outside the home. And the last few years together in our home, my mother homeschooled us. I'm neither saying that homeschooling is for everybody tonight. I would say this, I don't think the public school is for anybody in our day and age. If you're a parent, you better stay clear of the public school. I would steer my kids clear of the public school at all cost. But in my situation, my mother was able to teach us. And you know, in those last 3 years of my high school education and mom homeschooling us, the relationship was different. That's about the best I can describe it. From mom working all those years and being out of the home to mom being able to be in the home, and things that I picked up from mom and qualities that mom, I learned from mom, just because simply she was in the home more. I don't mean that a woman cannot be a wife and mother and be industrious. You study Proverbs 31, that lady is working. She's working. But also study Proverbs 31 and you'll find the word household three times. Most of what she was working on was related to the home. Just food for thought. Her presence was in the home. Keep her at home has certainly the deduction in it that, hey, there's got to be time for mom, for wife to be in the home. There's things to manage in the home. There's things to care for in the home. And those of you that you're a homemaker, you know that if that's all you do in a day, that there's a lot that needs to be done in the home. And so her presence. Number two, her priorities. Her priorities. We see her priority was this. In verse number 15 of Proverbs 31, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. In verse 21, she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed with scarlet. I wrote down in my Bible, she's not a last minute woman. She's looking ahead for her household. Snow's coming. She's not afraid. I prepared for that. I manage my household in such a way that if that comes, my kids will have, my husband will have what he needs, because in my life, I have made it a priority. My home is my priority. That's exactly what Marxism doesn't want. Interesting that they are pushing against the very things that God is teaching in His Word as far as the home structure. The virtuous home managed her home and she did it well. She did not, listen ladies carefully, she did not let family members fend for themselves. A woman that is a keeper at home. You study Proverbs 31. She was not a woman that said, well, everybody get their own meal tonight. Everybody do your own laundry today. And I'm not saying we shouldn't put responsibility on our kids. Don't get me wrong. I think all of us have responsibility. But she looked well to the ways of her household. Man, she was working. She was working day and night. You know what she was working at? She was working at her home, management of her household. Ladies, that's a role that the Bible identifies that is a good role. Some of you, you're in a work situation, all right? Please understand, I'm not trying to condemn anybody tonight. It takes more because you have time outside the home and you're trying to take care of the needs of the home, but keep your home a priority. I remember my mom and dad's relationship. I remember they were constantly talking, how can we cut mom back another day? How can we cut mom back another day? And folks, sometimes in order to do this, we've got to cut our spending down to live a more simple life to make sure that these things are in order. And the payoff, by the way, on that is going to be greater than what we think the payoff is on everything that we're buying up. Interesting. All right? Her pattern. Not only her priority. Not only in the scriptures do we see her presence in this keeper at home, but her pattern. She's active on behalf of her family. She's diligent. Proverbs 31, again, you go there. Man, look at all the verbs there. You get a chance to study Proverbs 31, circle all those verbs. Verbs are active things. Verbs are things that, man, take action. They take work. They take forethought. They take planning. They take effort. They take my mind being on it. Her pattern was about that. She was all taken up in that. She couldn't do it all at once. And neither can you. What do? You work a day at a time. As a mother and a wife in the management of your home, you do a little bit at a time. She's not primarily known as a nurse. She was primarily known as one that looked well to her household, her keeper. So the role tonight of a helpmeet, that's a biblical role in the home. It's a godly role. Number two, in the home, we have another role, the role of keeper at home. Number three, we have another role, the role of motherhood. The role of motherhood. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Last role that I'll deal with tonight. The role of motherhood. Bible's discussing widows and caring for widows in 1 Timothy chapter 5. It says something interesting in 1 Timothy 5 verse number 11. It says, but the younger widows refuse. Well, refuse? What do you mean refuse? For when they've begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And then it goes on in verse number 14. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. And so, in God's plan, the way that He meant it for the world to populate was not drop babies from heaven, but for a husband and wife to have a child or children, right? And so, motherhood, I believe that that is instinctively put in young ladies. There's something that is more natural to me of a woman holding a little one than of a man holding a little one. Now, when my babies came along, man, I loved to hold my babies. But I don't know about you, but I hold somebody else's baby and I'm a little nervous. Like he's wonderful. Let me give him back before I drop him and he breaks. But a woman, this is normal. It's comfortable. It's the way it's supposed to be. Now, if you're not comfortable and you're a woman tonight, you're not an odd duck, all right? Understand? But what I'm saying is this. God made ladies to instinctively be mothers if God allows them to have a child. We understand not everybody has that privilege. But as a mother, what then am I supposed to do? Well, you're to love your children, right? Bible says in Titus 2, verse number 4, to love their children. You're to sacrifice for them. I think of Jochebed. Jochebed, man, I'm going to give Moses all the benefits. It may cost me my life. Jochebed's situation. But Moses, we're going to protect him for 3 months. And then, Lord, you got to take him. Lord, you got to do, but we're going to sacrifice to make it the best possible situation for Moses. Love your children. Sacrifice for them. What else about motherhood? Be an example to your children. Mary, interesting, kept Jesus in the synagogue. They would go to Passover every year. Ladies, remember, and this is true for fathers as well, your example is caught more than your words are. Ladies, mothers, want to encourage you tonight. Are you faithful to all the church services, and what keeps you from coming to church and bringing the kids to church? Will your kids know, you know what, it didn't matter what happened in mom's life in a week when it was church time, everything moved. And we got there. Boy, that ought to be the testimony. Man, the kids growing up at Mount Zion Baptist Church ought to have that testimony. Man, I'll tell you one thing, my mama got down. She was faithful to church. My mother, I remember, would work 12-hour shifts, 7 in the evening on a Saturday night to 7 in the morning. She would get ready for church. She would go do her bus route on Sunday morning after 12 hours of working all night. You know what? It's a big reason why I'm in church, unless I'm dying or I'm trying to protect you from a sickness that I have. It's a big reason why nothing stops me from getting to church. We go home and visit relatives. We'll do it at Christmas. They know. Wednesday night comes, but you only have 4 days with your relatives, yep. And Wednesday night's going to be church. We're going to church. I want my kids to know nothing's going to keep us from being in God's house. Ladies, love your children. Sacrifice for them. Be an example to them. Number 4, teach them the scriptures. Teach them the scriptures. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Mothers, young mothers. We've got some young mothers here. We've got some that are going to become young mothers. Exciting time in our church. We've got mothers that you've been mothers for a while. Can I give you something practical here? Wake up with the purpose that today, Lord, give me a Bible truth that I can get to my kids. Lord, teach me something so that today in my home, somewhere, I'll be able to share it with my kids. That from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. How did Timothy get to know the Holy Scriptures? Grandma and mom. They were interested. They prioritized. They got a hold of the role of motherhood and said, bless God, we're going to get it to them. Now, what they do with it, I can't dictate that. But I can make sure that while they're under my roof, they get it. They get the Word of God. And then let me give you another one, and I think this is becoming more relevant today, and the example is Elizabeth. I wrote down in my notes, stand against the pressures of family. Elizabeth had her baby, right? She's carrying the baby. The family said, Elizabeth, you need to name that son after your husband, Zacharias. Elizabeth said, nope. His name is John. Now, there's a little spiritual encouragement in Elizabeth's life called an angel that appeared to kind of instruct her as to what was going on in God's grand plan. But in Luke chapter 1, it says, and his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. Elizabeth, ain't nobody in our family ever been called by that name. What in the world are you thinking? That's not in the text, but it's there. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. Here in this passage, Elizabeth did that which was unpopular with the rest of the family. And named her son John. And it didn't cause any small discussion that's recorded in the scriptures. I want you to understand, moms, there are times where your family may not understand your decisions to protect your kids. It doesn't matter. They may not understand why you don't allow your kids to do what somebody else would do, why you're so hard on your kids, why you discipline them at such a young age, why you don't give them permission, why you're so quick to correct them, why you hold them out of Little League to go to church on Wednesday nights. They may not understand why you choose not to put them in the public school system. But in the role of motherhood, ladies, let me remind you tonight, there are battles that if you're going to do it right, you have to stand on some things. Elizabeth stood. Sometimes in raising children, you will have to stand even against family pressures. Listen, don't cave in on Bible truth and principle because of family pressure. Don't do that. Stand in those days. Let me give you something else. Emphasize the spiritual. The Bible says of John in Luke 1:80, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. Spirit. Spirit, oh, that's that part of me that communicates with God. John waxed strong in that part that communicates with God. The spiritual. The spiritual. You want your kid to be good in sports? Great. Push all their time in that direction. But I want you to know that sports does not develop spirit. It does not develop a strength of spirit. I believe in being well-rounded. We raised our son to be well-rounded. We got him into a lot of different things and experiences of life and all of that. Still believe that. But there's nothing more important in raising your children. Moms, get a hold of this. There's nothing more important in raising your kids than to work with their spirit. And for you to talk to them about spiritual things, and for you to share with them what God's doing in your heart, and for you to read the scriptures with them or to pray with them and to pray over their spirit. God, make them strong in spirit. Oh, we need some young people that will be strong in spirit, in communication with God, and God communicating with them. And a stirring in their spirit to do something for God and to love God with all their heart, soul, and mind. But if that's going to happen, there has to be some emphasis on the spiritual. The spiritual. And my friend, if that doesn't come from the home, tell me that it's going to come from the world. Tell me that it's going to come primarily through their friends. Tell me it's going to come at their workplace, that it's going to be a spiritual revival at their workplace. Not happening. Not happening. How did John grow strong in spirit? There was something going on in the home. In the home. Remember the role of a godly woman when she fulfills it is greatly pleasing to the Lord. The role of a helpmeet, the role of a keeper at home, the role of motherhood. You'll find those in the Bible. You'll find God makes those very clear in the Bible. If you're a young lady tonight in the invitation, I wonder if you have begun to pray in your life, Lord, shape me now, where I'm at now, shape me to be the best helper that I can be to a man that you may bring into my life. Lord, give me the desires now in my life to keep a home, to be a mother, to fulfill the role of helpmeet. If you're a young lady, I don't care if you're 6 years old in this service tonight. I don't care if you're 20 years old and you're not married. You know what a godly, godly heart is on all this? It's exactly what God painted in the scriptures. And it would not be wrong for you to pray those things to God tonight. Lord, shape me that I could fulfill the roles that, Lord, you designed for my life. Is that a good thing? I believe that would be a good response to the altar tonight. There are mothers in this room. Moms, I want to say we need you. I don't know if I can put enough emphasis in that. We need moms that will love, will sacrifice, will be an example, will emphasize the spiritual, will stand against pressures of the family, will teach our children the scriptures. That's what we find. That's scripture. That's right. That's godly, if we can use that term tonight. Maybe tonight you would get a hold of all that and you would hear about what Marxism is trying to cram down the throats of Americans and you would rise to your feet and say, God, by your grace, Lord, let me fulfill that. Let me be a dam in this stream, this current of the world that is pushing against all of that. Lord, I rededicate myself, Lord, to motherhood and to being a helpmeet and, Lord, to keeping my home. Lord, that's what you're pleased with. God, that's what I want to be. I don't want you to look at all this tonight as male chauvinism. It's not. Please understand my heart of what I'm preaching. But it's God's plan. And you know what? If it's God's plan, a society functions well when we function according to God's plan. And my friend, I know a family unit functions the best when we are fulfilling the roles that God has given us. Men, don't think you're off the card. I just happened to preach to you earlier in the year, all right?
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you. Oh,